get excited, and don't be discouraged. You do your job, and you'll see what God will do. He tests you first. How faithful can you be faithful in a few things, small? And when you teach these young people, you don't know who you have for the next generation, a preacher or two, or maybe more. And you work with them, and you will see what God will do for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You, when the young people come in, you just, and on Saturday coming, you're going to have your baking Saturday. Please remember your pastor upstairs. And let me test and sample those cakes before you pass them out. Let me bless them. Praise God. God is so good. And we thank you. Adriana, that was powerful. You always have a good testimony because you're faithful. And we thank you. And Joy and Danny. Danny is a good singer, eh?
Yeah.
We're going to have ministers. We just pray that a lot of ministers will come, because in this part of the world, we are hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
We have no program. We're not going through a lot of program, because we want to make a lot of time for the Word of God. Preachers will be preaching, teaching. And we just pray that everything goes right, that they will come, and they will be welcome. There's good preachers, and I told you we will give you, as the days go by, we'll give you the list of, as we know, the list of those that are coming. But we're going to have a good time.
Amen.
We have some preachers. I was telling you that one can chase 1,000.
Amen.
We have men who can stir your heart. So we want to encourage you. And we have the article up on the Facebook, and you can come. But in this church, we love the Word of God. I don't have programs or get involved with programs. I spend my time studying the Word of God. And God is leading me into, since my recovery, while I was sick, although I was sick right after I came out, this series that I'm going to try and close out, maybe tonight, I started the very Sunday, was it?
Yeah.
The first Sunday I came home, the Thursday and the Sunday, I started this. And a series about my soul getting out of prison.
Yeah.
And I've been going, how many CDs that I have on this series? This morning was
16.
17. Can you imagine? One verse of scripture, one chapter, Psalms 142. We have 16, 17 hours, CDs of teaching.
Amen.
One chapter stood right here, and 16, 17 hours of teaching, and one chapter. Okay, and you can check it out. It's on Facebook. It's on other
Faith Life.
It's on, and you can check it for yourself. Podcast. You can check it for yourself. And soon it will be on YouTube. And we have God is just helping us, and it's going on all over the world, and God is giving us wonderful understanding in this church.
Yeah.
And maybe when I'm finished, I don't know where God will lead me, but I'm falling in love with what we call the minor prophets, but they're not minor.
Amen.
Because Jose, is it? The way you say, Jose? Jose has more chapters than Daniel. There are what, 14 chapters in the book of
Jose?
Hosea, and there's 12 chapters in the book of Daniel, and we say that Daniel is major, and it's major. All of the prophets, even who was it, Obadiah? How many chapters is in Obadiah? Obadiah, isn't it one? How many chapters is in? Obadiah. How many chapters? That little book of Obadiah. And that's major. See? That is major. And I discovered that we know very little about these books. And if you look in your Bible, there's not very much marking there. Like Nahum, we touched that the other day. Habakkuk and Zephaniah, Haggai. And when we preach, we mainly touch just a few familiar verses, but maybe Amos, who was it?
Nahum,
Joel. Joel, and it looks like, because it's after Daniel, and Daniel was in Babylon. Remember Daniel, the wonderful prophet of God in Babylon? And he never returned to Judah because he was old, and but he prayed for the release of the captivity after 70 years. So we want to maybe look at those books that I'm asking God to to give me understanding and lead me and quicken and inspire me. But I'm beginning to spend hours of study, day and night into these books. And it really looked like you're not getting anywhere because they're not preached or talked about a lot. We take a few promises and we use the scripture, a few promises. And God is going to do this and God is going to do that. And he's a good God, but we need to get to the more of the Word of God. And the reason why we don't understand very much is because we neglect a lot of the Word of God and we don't have time. Many children of God are very impatient. They cannot sit down and study the Word. They want to hear excitement. And I like excitement too. But it's the Word of God that stirs you up. When you get on your feet, look how you're excited. It's the Word of God. But if you were not receiving the Word of God, then you would not have the joy. You see, you would not have the joy to praise the Lord. Okay, so we want to continue teaching, and don't get weary in well doing. If you don't open your Bibles, if you don't study the Scriptures, you will never grow in the Lord. And I don't make a lot of promises to you. That's not my calling, really. I would have to force myself to begin to promise you cars and gold watches and clothes and you're going to get houses. I would have to really mimic some preacher or force myself because it's not in my spirit to preach that way. I see something greater. I see something more wonderful. We talk about a car, but that's going to rot after a while. It's going to wear out. But I'd like to preach of eternal things, things that cannot be shaken, unmovable things. See, that's what I'm talking about. When God sent me here to this city, it was God that sent me. I didn't even know about this city and how God gave us this church. How we started this church. I started this church with Angie. She's the only one that's here that we started. Everybody else is new. But from day one, we started this church. And she has been with me. I could give you a history of what we've been through and how God gave us this building. God gave us this building without one person in this church signing for it. This is a miracle. When everybody said, no, you'll never have it. But God gave it to us.
Amen.
And God is good. So I can could tell you the history of it, but I'll tell you another time. And some of you know the history of this building. Sister Letitia knows that. And we used to have a Easter the paper, but I don't even know. We might find it. It will. But you know where we came from. We met under a tree. We met in a rehab house. We met over in, was it Hart Street, P Street over there?
T Street,
a little building over there that we had to stand up outside for about an hour. There was another church ahead of us. And they see us out there and they just kept dragging it out till God opened 16th Street. It's a beautiful history that God gave us. So how and how I work in the chicken foster farms, the chicken place. I'd never done that before, but I couldn't get a job and I wanted to stay here to continue and have a church. And God, to make this short, here we are tonight. And we have been here a long time. God gave it to us. Nobody gave me this church. Nobody. It doesn't belong to anybody but the Lord. And so we thank God for it. And we're glad when you get up on your feet and you can praise the Lord. We had a wonderful service this morning. And we want to encourage you to serve the Lord and don't get down, don't get cold. Don't put your Bibles away. You'll get cold. But read the Bible. Encourage yourself. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell the devil he's a liar. And I mean, there's times when I'm tired myself. But what do? Take a little rest and get up again. And you have things to do, but slip the word of God in your spirit, in there, and you will see what God will do for you. We have been talking about the love of God, and this morning was wonderful about mercy and justice and what you should do. What you should do, what is expected of you. And this lesson in Micah, was it Micah 6, verse 6, that we had this morning? If you put that up there and we just touch that as we move on in the scriptures. I love the Bible. I love this book. And this is what I live for now. I study this book. But it says Micah was asking a lot of questions. He wanted to know. He says he wanted to approach God. He wanted to do the right thing. But he had a lot of questions.
Yes.
And only God could give him the answer.
Yes.
He says, shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Then he says, questions. Shall I come before him with burnt offering? We touch all this morning. Send a CD back there. Shall I come before him with burnt offering? With calves of a year old? That means the best tender, my best possession, things that I value, should I come with? Can that give me an access, an entrance to God? Will God be pleased with it? The sacrifices I made, will God be pleased with it? The things of my own personal things, can I give it to the Lord? No. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? You offer up thousands of sacrifice and God's well pleased with it. Would he? No. No. Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil. That still would not please him because that's not the anointing. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? You know, women especially know your firstborn. It means a lot. Would you give that up for your soul? Would God accept that for the transgressions of your soul? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? No. The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul. The fruit of your body is your children. Would God accept your children in exchange for forgiveness of your sins? No. So you offer up your children for sacrifice? No, don't do that, because that would not be accepted. So none of those things would be accepted. Nothing that you can do in the flesh that's accepted by God or could remove your sins. Nothing at all. And a lot of people get deceived because they think that they can work it out. There's things that I can do instead of surrendering to the Lord. That's all God asks you to do. So look at the next verse, verse 9. Verse 8. All right, yes. Here's what you do now. It goes on. You remember all the questions in verse 6 and 7? But now the answer is coming. The answer is coming. He doesn't want any of those things in verse 6 and verse 7. But here in verse 8. He had showed thee. In other words, he's showing you. He had showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doeth the Lord require of thee? Let's find out now. Because if you're going to serve God, you need to know. You have to know how to please him. You have to know what he is accepting. He said, he had showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. Something is required of you, every one of us. Let's find out. But, here's it, but to do justly. To do justly. In other words, you're going to treat people right. You don't have a balance where on your side is 16 ounces, but you give the other person 12 ounces. You have to be fair. We touched that this morning. Being just. Justly. Honest. God requires that. Be true to one another. Be true to God. Justly. Be fair. Justly. See that word? And to love mercy. Now, you know, mercy, that's the quality, that's the nature of God. He's a merciful God. Paul said, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. And to love, this is why you love mercy. In other words, instead of judgment, you rather forgive. Amen. When you could have exercised your rights, you forgive. You choose to forgive. You choose to show mercy. I'm showing you what God requires. Not your sacrifice and your offering and your firstborn and your fruits of your body and the thousands of oil and rams and all of that to forgive you of your sins. None of those things work. Amen. But just do justly. And love God, love your neighbors as yourself. Amen. And then you begin to walk humbly. Don't pouting and backbiting, criticizing, knocking everything down if it doesn't come your way. You humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You don't lift yourself up. You don't throw off on anybody. And once you begin to walk uprightly before God and humble yourself before God, you're going to find that God's going to bless you like you've never been blessed before.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Showing mercy. You remember the story that Jesus gave in the gospel of these two servants. One of them owed his master, $1,000. Matthew chapter 18. Look at that. Matthew chapter 18. Put it up there for me. Matthew 18 verse 20. Matthew 18 verse 20. Let's look at the Bible tonight. Matthew 18, verse 23. Verse 23, he says. Therefore, the kingdom. Verse 23. Go there to verse 23. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven. No, watch this. Watch this. Read it now. The kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of the earth. But the kingdom of heaven, where you want to be in. You want to be in this kingdom, right? So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king. Who is the king? Yes, Jesus is that king. Revelations 19. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the king of the kingdom. And here's what happened. A certain king, which would take account of his servants. That means he's going to take account. And all of us has to line up with justice, mercy, with love, and walking in humility. Amen. All of us. That's what God requires. Yes. So he's going to judge you on that basis. He's not going to judge you how much you fast and what you do. He's going to look for that. And here it is again. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king, certain king, that's God or Jesus, which would take account of his servants. You know where he take account? They take account and they bring you up before to examine what you've been doing with the master's goods. Whether you've been good or bad, wasting it. Is there an increase or is there a loss? You all know that. Yes. What would we call taking stock? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him. Look at this. One was brought unto him, the king, which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money in our day. 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, he couldn't pay. It was beyond. His Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. But the servant therefore fell down and worshiped the Lord, the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Look what he asked for mercy. How much? It's several million. And he asked for mercy. He said, give me time. He never paid. Now, then the Lord, this is the Lord, this is God himself, of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, remember now, when you pray and ask God to forgive you, he's moved with compassion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I feel like shouting. He's God, he's moved with compassion. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgiven. You don't have to pay a thing. It's gone, it's over, it's done. You know that's what happened when you come to Jesus. And you owe him all those thousands and millions. And when you ask him to forgive you, he forgives. He forgives. But now, you're going to be tested. You are going to be tested for your forgiveness, for your mercies to your brothers and your sisters or to somebody else. But notice, the same servant, who? Same servant that's forgiven. The same servant that just shout as he came out of prison for his freedom. The same servant went out. He went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. I wonder how much that is. 100 pence. And he laid hands on him. No, lay hand on, I mean, didn't just, he grabbed him by the throat and his collar. A violent act. And took him, I told you, by the throat. You know when somebody holds you by the throat, what they're going to do? Kill you. Choke it out of you. And took him by the throat saying, pay me right now what you owe me. Demanded payment right now. He forgot that he was just forgiven. How much he was forgiven of. And this man that owed him, how much? Just say, not even $100. Owed him a dollar. A few dollars. Comparing to the millions. Yes. 100 pennies. What he's saying right here is that how much God has forgiven you and I. Far more than anybody could offend you. And you cannot forgive them. I don't care what they've done to you. Those little 100 pennies compared to the millions of offenses that we have against God. I can forgive her. Come on. Oh, I can't forgive that church. How much did God forgive you? How many sins, your thoughts, your wicked way? We were born that way and God forgave us. And you and I cannot forgive our fallen brothers or sisters. This is awesome. His fellow servant fell down at his feet. No. You saw what he fell down at his master's feet. And now his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him. Begged him. Plead with him. Pour out his spirit. Pour out his need. His family, his children. What he's going through. And besought him. Saying, have patience with me. The same words we use to God for forgiveness. Somebody said, forgive me. But I can't forgive you. Saying, pay me. Pay me right now. With he had his hands at his throat and then he threw him down on the floor. That fell out. And the servant kept begging. But he wanted it right now. He wanted it and he wanted it now. You think he listened? You think we forgive sometimes? Huh? And he would not. He would not listen. He would not forgive him. But went and cast him into prison. Are you listening now?
Yes.
Cast him into prison. His soul. Into prison. I mean, you want to come out of prison. You ask the Lord, after owing God thousands of millions of dollars and offenses that we've committed against the Lord, and he forgave us. When we pray and said, oh God, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name, that I may worship you, and now somebody else want to come out of prison. And instead of helping them, we cast them in prison. Someone else is begging us. Forgive me. Don't hold grudges against me. I'm sorry for what I've done to you. Will you forgive me? He would not. But went and cast him into prison. Till he should pay the debt. If he's in prison, how is he going to pay? How is he going to pay? I was only 100 pence. And if he couldn't pay it when he was out of prison, how is he going to pay it while he's in prison? The key is forgiveness. The key right here is mercy. Love. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Do unto others as you'd have it done to you. And this man wanted, the first one wanted forgiveness. And his master forgave him. And it goes on, and it begins to show us now why a lot of us don't receive anything from God. And you receive it, you lose it. Because of the spirit of unforgiveness. Unmerciful spirit.
I'm thankful.
Now goes, look at that. It says, so when his fellow servants, saints, members of the church saw it. Are you listening?
Yeah.
I know what he did or she did and what's going on. Or they come crying at the pulpit asking forgiveness. But they will not forgive anybody or others that wronged them. I forgive you and I forgive you. But I won't forgive because you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they done to you. Forgiveness. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were, let me say this. You might think you cover up, but people can read your spirit. They can read if you're a phony, you're just pretending. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. They brought it, let me tell you something. When you do something, it's going to get back to God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You might think you're hiding, but it's going to get back to the Lord. That's why you've got to show the right spirit. That's why you have to treat one another right. That's why we have to have mercy, love, grace. Manifesting the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. They told the Lord all that was done. 32. Then the Lord, the Lord had forgiven him before. But because of his acts of unrighteousness and unforgiveness, he's going in prison.
Then his Lord.
After that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. That's God talking now. Talking to us, to you, me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? The answer is yes. Amen. The answer is yes. You're to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. Are you following? And his Lord, listen, watch this now. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to who? You see where he's going now? To the tormentors. The Lord was upset and wroth with him and delivered him over to and the tormentors wasn't just, you know, they're there to torment you. Because now you're in jail. Because you couldn't forgive. You work your way into jail. I'm talking about your soul. Into bondage. Yeah. An unforgiven spirit will put you in bondage. I don't care how much you shout or drum. It will bind you. It builds a prison around your spirit. And the Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors. How long? Till he should pay all that was due unto him. And if he's in prison, how is he going to pay it? He's not going to get out. And a lot of us, we can be locked in prison, our souls, because we'll not forgive. But you're praying, bring my spirit, bring my soul, Lord, out of prison. Forgive your neighbors. Yeah. Forgive one another. That's the key. Amen. You want to get out? Yeah. You want to get out of prison so you can praise the Lord? Just forgive one another. But they never asked for forgive them anyway. But they got grudges again. Forgive them anyway. Amen. They might be upset with you and have grudges, but you don't have grudge against them. You set your spirit free. Because the devil will put you in bondage when you hold grudges. And you lift your hands up, but you can't break through because that thing comes as a cloud over you and a reminder. Then here is what he said now. Here's what the Lord says. So likewise. This is important now. This is Jesus speaking. That's not me. That's Jesus showing you the way into the kingdom of God. Forgiveness. God forgiving you and you forgive one another. Forgive us this day our debt as we forgive our debtors. It's there. Read it in Matthew 5, I think. The Lord's Prayer. Is it? Or the Beatitudes. Okay? Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, even as we forgive one another. So God hears those secrets. I know those secrets. Well, she don't know, but I don't like her. He doesn't know, but I'm really mad at him. Murmur. Talk, complain. Murmuring. Somebody say, oh, that's not. Yes, murmuring is wrong. Complaining. Are you listening now about that unforgiving spirit, the grudges? Huh? Somebody might have offended you from school day, and you still remember it. Long. Some people just hold that grudge long. Never forgive. And we preach, but we never forgive. Preachers. And they covered it over. Well, they need to come to me and repent and apologize. No, they don't have to. Amen. The Bible didn't say that. You've got to show mercy. Amen. Well, I can't forgive them because they don't preach the same doctrine and they don't believe like I. Who said they have to? I said, who said they have to? Amen. That's not the requirement of forgiveness. We forgive because God forgave us. Yeah. Well, they don't come to my church. What church? See, you ought to forgive your brothers and your sisters, your neighbors. Your neighbor's dog came over and destroyed some of your stuff. Forgive them. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Unto you. Everybody say you, me. Me. You means you. Don't put it off on somebody else. If. I like that word. That's a powerful little word. If ye. Hallelujah. Not from your lips now. But from where? From your heart. Man look on the outward, God looks on the heart. But from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. But I tell you, that's a tall order, but only God can help us. Somebody offend you, and you're going to be offended. And you say, but Pastor, you don't understand. Mine is a very unusual case. There's never been a case like mine. So what you're saying is God made a mistake when he put that in there. He should have waited until you were born and that was against you. Then he write it and say your case is special. You don't understand what they did to me. Maybe I don't, but God does. Yeah. Pastor, my case is what that woman did to me, what that brother did to me, there's no way I can forgive him. And God says, you want to be in the kingdom? He said, I cannot bring that spirit in the kingdom. That's what he's saying. God's saying, if you want to be in the kingdom, you've got to leave that spirit outside. And things will happen to you to find out who you are and what's going on inside of you. You have to get that spirit out, because that's a spirit and that's a tormentor. It cannot enter, somebody shout, into the kingdom of God. So I don't care what somebody did to you. I know it hurts. But because the word says, and because you love God, and because you want to be in the kingdom, he says, if you, from your heart, not your lip, well, I forgive him, I forgive her. Come on now. But you know the heart is still there. The lips can say it, but it's got to be the heart. Forgive from your heart. Is that hard? Well, how is God going to forgive you? In other words, if you cannot forgive your brothers and your sisters, it blocks your way of deliverance. In other words, the door of the prison of your soul will not be open, will not be unlocked. So a lot of people they're tormented, they can't even sleep because somebody's name is in them. I just don't like that person. And torment. Do you know when you don't have love in your heart, the tormentors come? How many know that the people that you don't like, you think about them the most? They're stuck in your minds. You ever try? Upset with something there? And you can't? And when you hear the name call, woo! The tormentors. He's there to torment you. Are you thinking now, eh? You got to get rid of that so the tormentors will go. The tormentors. Shut you up with the tormentors. Not a prison downtown, but a prison in your mind, in your soul. And the tormentors shut you up. Lock you up. And then you get edgy and you want to pull your hair and scream and knock the door down, do something, everything. Eh? And all the time it's just simple. And you wonder why you're stressed and you got to run to the doctor and take pills. And one pill to put you to bed, another one to wake you up, to keep you up. It's because of forgiveness, unforgiving spirit. The tormentors. You're driving down the road, they're tormenting you. When you're upset with somebody, you can't get them out of your mind. They torment you. The names. A tormentor come to torment you. To buffet you. To beat up on your mind. But when you let go and said, I forgive from your heart, it has to go. The prisons are open. Amen. Your soul is out of prison. You can praise the Lord and glorify God and shout. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching so? Because I'm trying to put up your bail band to get you out of prison. The prison of your mind. I'm trying to show you how to fight the tormentors. Hallelujah. To keep your mind on the Lord. Why? Because you want to be in the kingdom of God. The king said it. The king said, this is the way to get into the kingdom. Forgiven. And God looked, and when he called you to take account, that's what he says. He sees in your spirit that it's right. He sees that on the pages of your life, there's nothing. No unforgiven spirit. There's nobody printed there and said you didn't forgive this one. And you didn't forgive that one. So you need to go over your record. And begin to check it. And see if there's anyone that you cannot forgive. Like old relationship. Or maybe even new relationship. You ought to check it out. Old jobs, new jobs, whatever. You got to have a clean slate before God. In closing. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. That's who's going to do it? God. The heavenly Father is going to do it. If you from your heart forgive not everyone. Everyone is brother their trespasses. Now, if everybody could forgive everybody their trespasses, what a church. What a church. What a church. That's how you come out of prison. Bring my soul, Psalms 142, out of prison that I may praise your name, that I might glorify your name. Get me out. And the Lord says in Micah 6, 7, 8, 9, going down, says, you should do justly and love mercy and walk humbly before God. Then you forgive. Amen? In Matthew. Is it Matthew we were? You forgive. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Is that it? That means you're in jail, locked up, you can't come out. Because God has the keys. Amen. God has the keys. It's not human locking you. It's God has the keys. And you have to forgive, otherwise you can't get out. And if you can't get out, you won't be released in time for the kingdom. You want to be in the heavenly kingdom? Then you got to get out the prison of your spirit, of your soul, of unforgiving spirit. You got to get out of that.
Amen.
There's no such thing as I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You can. You get down on your knees and tell God, said, forgive me, Lord. I don't like that person. They get on my mind. But I want to love them. I want to like them. I want to do the right thing. Will you please help me and forgive me? I guarantee you, you keep praying like that and you really want to? No? You're going to find out what's going to happen to you. And you're going to be a free person. Free to serve God. Free to rejoice. Otherwise, when you're locked in unforgiveness, and you try to praise the Lord, the devil bring all that before your face. You know the devil is the master at that? Huh? You lay down and who does he bring? In your right up there. The person that trespassed against you and you couldn't forgive them. Well, he said, I forgive, but I can't forget. That's not forgiveness. Well, if I forgive them, but it's still in my mind. All right. It might be in your mind just to remind you, okay, not to do that again. Because if you touch the hot stove, you're going to remember not to do it again. And all those, but I still remember, but yeah, the devil will torment you. But once you repent and you begin to work against that spirit, you might have to take them out for dinner or do something. I don't know. to show them. Start talking to them. And they're going to be shocked. And you're going to get out of bondage. Otherwise, you'll never get out of bondage. What's holding you? The king says, this is what's going to happen to everyone that will not forgive the trespasses of their brothers or their sisters. Isn't that awesome tonight? So tonight, Christ came to set the captives free, to open prison door, to set us free. Tonight, let's forgive. And there might be somebody out there that's going through this unforgiving spirit that you cannot forgive. Tonight, no matter who offend you, you forgive them. Not from your lips, but from your heart. And you will see what the King of Glory will do for you. Amen. 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 Amen.